Our friend Matt Carney played this song when Paul and the girls and I went to see him in Door County the other night. And I thought we were starting the 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch. Brian Bulaga is in as our cousin's sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. Well, Brian, if you believe in better, you have a history of wearing... I have a history of wearing my heart on my shirt. Of wearing throwback uniforms during your playing career. Do you have a favorite from your time playing?
I like those ones where it was just the, the lighter brown helmet, the straight navy with the gold circle and the brown pants. Or like the tannish pants and then just the navy socks. Those are my favorite. I like those a lot. Those are great throwbacks.
Do you feel the same way about the ones that have been unveiled today? The 1923, we're going back to our roots uniforms that they will be wearing with the leather looking painted on helmets. How do you feel about those?
I like the jersey. I think the jersey looks good. Like I'm totally good with the jersey and the pant combo. Like I'm good with it. The helmet is, I mean, I'm just gonna be totally honest. I like to be honest on here, and
we like you to.
Not like, the helmet is brutal. The helmet's brutal. I don't like the helmet. I don't like the printed on. Like I don't like that. Like it just looks brutal to me. I'm not a fan of it. It's just I'm not feeling it. I wouldn't like it. I don't like it. I'm not even wearing it. And that's just me.
I'm sorry, Brian. Could you clarify your position? Because I feel like you've kind of been a little wishy-washy on the helmet.
And maybe I wasn't clear. Maybe I wasn't clear. I mean, I like everything else though. I like the jersey. I like the stripes on the shoulder. I think that looks really good. I think that looks clean. The helmet is just it's throwing me off. Like I get we want to go back to the leather helmet, but like you know, the printed helmet on the helmet, it's tacky. It looks tacky. And I'm just not feeling it. Nope.
So
too much.
Jesse, you pointed this out while we were getting ready for the show today, and I had forgotten about this honestly. Illinois did this with their throwbacks. Was that last year? Was that against the Badgers?
No, it was against Michigan. They unveiled their throwback. So Illinois did like all season long. They did different throwback uniforms. They were celebrating some anniversary last year. So they had like their 90s uniforms, their 70s uniforms. And then there was one set of uniforms that went all the way back to the beginning, which is essentially what these Packers ones look like, which Illinois, to my knowledge, is the first team that ever did the fake painted on leather helmet, which I would think is where, you know, inspiration served for what the Packers are unveiling here. It's pretty similar looking to what Illinois wore against Michigan last year. So I'm kind of with Blue. When I watched that game on TV, I watched that Illinois game. It was kind of weird looking at it on TV because it actually does look like the helmets are leather when you're watching it. So it's a visually strange experience watching it on TV. I don't know if it feels the same on the sidelines or in the stadium or anything like that, but...
Do you have a photo of Illinois by any chance?
I'll pull it up here in a second. I have to download one from the internet here, but I'll get that up here for you. But yeah, they're very similar looking with the navy blue uniforms, with the brown leather looking helmet. The thing that I'm glad about with this, here's my take on the throwbacks. They said they're wearing them against Atlanta. Perfect team to wear them against. I hate when we do throwbacks on Thanksgiving against Detroit when that's a massive game. I hate when Michigan and Ohio State mix up their uniforms when they play each other every year. Like, there's certain games that you need to keep the traditional uniform. I didn't like when the Packers, I think they wore the white helmets against Minnesota last year. Was that a game that they wore the white helmets? Like, I don't want that. I don't want Minnesota wearing their white helmets against us. Like, when you're playing divisional opponents, when you're playing big rivalry games, massive NFC implications, AFC teams you only play once every 4 years, I don't want those to be games where you're mixing up the helmets. I want the traditional look. So we don't go 8 years before seeing the Packers and Chiefs wearing their traditional helmets playing each other. So Atlanta's the perfect team to do this against.
We always used to do it. Remember, Jason, when it used to be the color rush games, and we'd play the Bears on the, and we'd wear those disgusting all whites, and we would be the color. I feel like we always played the Bears on color rush night, and it would be the all. I want to talk about like feeling awful on a nationally televised game. It was the color rush, all whites. Oof, bad look.
So obviously, like yesterday, and we're going to be asking guys about this today with the uniforms now. But yesterday we were asking about the locker room, and it wasn't as if any guys were going to say, "Well, you know, I got to be honest, they did away with the Green Mile." And we're kind of cramped in here because the locker space is not nearly as big, which, by the way, is true. Like, I'm not using the locker room other than to interview people. There's a lot of space. There's a lot of open space in the middle. But it almost felt like the lockers are a little more condensed because they took what used to be, you know, the main locker room and then the additional locker room, and now everybody's in the same spot. So you're not treated as a second-class citizen if you're on the practice squad, for example. Now, again, there's also 90 guys in there, and there will only be 70 once the season starts.
So is it still the same shape? Like, did they keep the same football shape or no?
They did.
How did they get everyone in there?
So it's on the same footprint, but it's expanded longer. So it's even more oblong than it had been before. Still got a G carpet. It's a different one. It is nice, no doubt about it. But my point was going to be that we didn't need anybody to fake it. Oh yeah, this place is great, and they didn't really feel like that because they all do feel great about it, right? When it comes to alternative uniforms, and not just you personally, because you're kind of a grumpy old man sometimes. Fair. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Kind of rude, but fair.
Do guys get excited about this? Like, they did the photo shoot, obviously. They got Love in a jersey, and they got Tucker Kraft. Like, are guys excited about this? Are they excited about it when they actually wear them? Like, what is the, as a player, and not just you, what is generally the feeling among players?
I don't know if guys are excited. I mean, the only thing I was excited about with them were the pants. The pants were different than the normal Nike pants, and they were, like, stretchy and flexible, and they felt amazing. So, like, I looked forward to the throwback game because the pants were different than the normal pants, and they felt great. Like, they were, like, unbelievable. So, like, if they're wearing those same pants that we got when it was the throwbacks, then, yes, these guys are in for a treat. Then they are going to be very happy with the pants. So that's why I really like the throwbacks that we wore, because the pants were amazing. But besides that, like, I didn't really – like, I thought it was a cool jersey to collect, right? Like, I have all my throwback jerseys because, like, I thought it was a cool jersey to hold on to. I think it's a nice, you know, keepsake, right? Like, they're cool throwback jerseys, you know. Like, you have the regular, you know, green and white jerseys that you can get after the season. But the throwback ones are cool. I think they're cool to hold on to. But, like, excited to, like, just playing them one off. Like, I mean, it's a jersey. You put it on, you go play, right? Like, and that's really the way I view it. It's not – and but, again, like, linemen – look a lot different in these things than, like, the skill guys. They look a lot cooler in these things than we do. So, like, let's just call it what it is, right? Like, they look a lot better in these things than we did. So maybe the skill guys feel a little bit different about it than we do. But at the end of the day, like, it's a uniform. you put it on and you go roll. But for me, it was always the pants. It was always the pants. The pants were good.
Yeah, Rodgers used to say that all the time about those pants. Mm-hmm. And my only question, because that was back when we were doing the radio show, my question was, well, then why don't they make your regular pants out of the same material so you guys are all comfy all the time? Am I the only one to wonder that?
We asked, and we just got told, nope, can't do it. And we were like, well, why? Can't do it. We're like, we don't understand. It's above our pay grade is what we were told. Okay, sounds good. Like, no big deal. And that's just what it was. No, can't only good pants for one game. Good pants for one game. The rest of them, deal with it. But they made minor adjustments to the regular pants. Probably in 2016, they brought in a different pant that had a different stripe on the side that was more, that wasn't that thick. Band, like it wasn't a thick banded,
okay.
Like that made it more flexible and stretchy. That they tried to mimic that brown pant a little bit more, and it was better. It still wasn't the same by any stretch of the imagination, was not the same, but it was better. So I maybe now they maybe even now it could be even better, but I'm those pants. I will go on record, the best pants ever. I don't know who made them. I don't know what company. I know there was a Nike logo on it, and I've worn the Nike pants, so I know they weren't Nike. I don't know what company made those pants. God bless you. You guys got to find out a way to get into the NFL because every player will love those pants, I promise.
So I did find the Illinois uniform here, so we can do a little comparison. So this is Jordan Love wearing the Packers one that was unveiled for this season. Here is, they called these the Red Grange throwbacks for Illinois last year. So that the leather helmet looked more orange than it did brown like the Packers one does. And obviously,
they're workshopping it.
A little busy, the rest of the uniform that Illinois wore in this game. It was very distracting to watch last year, but the helmet is what stuck out on television.
Yeah, Illinois, I will say this, Green Bay's is better than that. Green Bay's, I mean, obviously starts with the jersey. Green Bay's is a million times better than that, and their helmet is better. So, like, I'll give Green Bay, like, marks above than what Illinois did. Like, it's way toned down from that, for sure. I'll give them that. I'll start there.
Well, that's nice.
So,
of
like,
you.
Yes,
that's a win.
Yeah, yes.
It doesn't. They don't suck as bad as Illinois did.
Yeah, but that jersey that Illinois has on is absolutely disgusting. Ugh.
And they beat Michigan in these uniforms. It was a big win for them last year.
Oh my gosh. That's even worse.
All right, we could talk men's football fashion all day, but we must get to trivia.
Could we?
I don't know if we could.
I don't know if we could either, but it felt like a good line at the time. Jesse, I'm gonna head down. What do you got for a category, and what caller would you like?
Today's trivia category: new season, who dis? New season for the Green Bay Packers, so there's always some questions with
very clever.
Some unfamiliar faces, getting to know some of the new guys. So new season, who dis is the category today that Brian and I will play. Let's do caller number 10 for Jordan Love. Caller 10.
Caller number 10, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 10 right now. For Wildy and Tausch Trivia, Brian and Jesse will play that next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Sit down together and laugh with each other about these days. All our troubles, we'll lay to rest and we'll wish we could come back to these days.
Oh, oh, oh,
Jesse and Tausch. Jesse and Bulaga, actually, for the time being. No Mark Tauscher. He's on a summer sabbatical. Jason Wilde on his way down to Packers training camp practice number two, where he will share his insights and observations from Green Bay as the Packers get set to take to the practice field. Not sure what the weather looks like out there today. He had to bring the umbrella yesterday. Here in Madison, kind of overcast skies, so we'll see what it looks like up in Green Bay coming up here in just a little bit. In the meantime, it is time for Brian and I to play Wilde and Tausch Trivia, which is presented by Vortex Golf.
Wilde and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on.
And we are off to a hot start this week. No trivia yesterday. It was a busy show at the opening of Packers training camp practice. Monday and Tuesday, we had first-time contestants. And I am happy to share that all three now of our contestants so far this week are, in fact, first-time contestants. We welcome in today's contestant. It is Derek in Sauk City. Derek, welcome to Wilde and Tausch Trivia. It's not the Wilde and Tausch experience you may usually get with Jesse and Bulaga holding things down. But nonetheless, you are here to play trivia. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Doing good.
Excellent. Good morning.
Derek, so Jason always likes to ask when we have a first-time contestant, have you tried calling in to play trivia before, or did you happen to get super lucky on your first time ever attempting to play this game?
I think this is probably my third time attempting, so yeah, we'll go with a little luck here.
Wonderful. Well, good luck to you, Derek. Pleasure to have you on board. Today's trivia category, new season, who dis? Green Bay Packers newcomers as they take to the practice field here on day two of Packers training camp practice. I'll show Brian how it's done by asking question number one. He'll have question two, and then we'll go from there. Question number one for you, Derek, is this. Which 2025 Green Bay Packers draft pick just signed his rookie contract late last week? Was it Anthony Belton, Baron Sorrell, or Johnny Deadline?
Ooh. Let's go with Baron Sorrell.
Baron Sorrell, day three pick. Sorry, Derek. It was actually Anthony Belton, the second round pick. Tausch was pretty intrigued by how the second round pick stuff was playing out. Brian, did we talk much with you about the second round pick situations around the NFL with that guaranteed money?
No, but I mean, I was keeping up on it, and I thought it was fascinating. I don't know how it's still going out. Did all of them sign, or they still got?
I think a lot of them signed. I don't know if all of them have, but a lot of them started to sign around the same time Belton did, which was on Friday of last week. So, I think most of those have been resolved now, but Belton is signed. Everybody's in camp. Here we go. Chance to bounce back, Derek. Question number two is asked by Brian Bulaga.
All right. At least for now, which unconventional jersey number is Packers wide receiver and first-round draft pick Matthew Golden set to wear this season? Number 44, 33, or 22?
We'll go with 22.
Yes, sir!
Dingy ding!
Now, Brian, were you ever involved in any jersey number swaps in your time?
Like guys changing numbers? But
did anyone ever come to you asking for your jersey? Did you ever go to anybody hoping to get a jersey number? Anybody close to you involved with that?
No.
No? None of that?
No.
Okay.
No.
So, Bo Melton switched because he's officially listed as a corner, I guess, now. So, he switched from 80 to, I think they said 16 is his number. And so, that has opened speculation that perhaps Matthew Golden would want to switch from 22 to 80 to have a more traditional wide receiver number. So, well, that's the training camp information that is always fun when you first get there and...
Interesting.
These rookies and some of the newcomers start switching numbers. All right, Derek's got one. Let's see if he can get the final question correct here for a second correct answer. Question number three for you, Derek in Sauk City. Where did new offensive lineman Aaron Banks, who signed as a free agent with the Packers this offseason, play his college football? Tough one. Where did Aaron Banks play college football? Auburn, Notre Dame, or Penn State?
Oh, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame is correct. Did you know that, Derek, or was that a lucky guess?
That's just a lucky guess.
Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. Yep, exactly. Nice job.
Good guess.
Nice job, Derek. You got two of the three questions correct, which means you have three of the possible four entries. If Tausch was here, I'm sure he would say, you don't see it too often where you get the first one wrong and get the next two right. But that's exactly what happened for you, Derek. Nicely done. Thanks for playing. Thanks for tuning in and being a first-time contestant. Appreciate you, man.
Awesome. Thank you. Love you guys.
Yeah, I got to leave with a love, you guys. That's a real one right there. Derek in Sauk City, today's contestant for Wilde and Tausch Trivia. Jesse Delson, Brian Bulaga holding it down for the moment on Wilde and Tausch. Jason Wilde is heading over to the training camp sidelines where he is standing by. He will rejoin the show here in just a few moments as we get set for day two of Packers training camp up in Green Bay. So that is straight ahead. Jason will get situated, and we will hear from him coming up next. Before we do so, as we head to commercial break, we hear from Mark Tauscher telling us about the ice-cold, refreshing taste of Coors Light. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Mark Tauscher here for the Blue Mountains of cold, refreshing Coors Light. Whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, celebrating a big win after the game, or you just need a moment to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light. Coors Light is brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. The mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans turn blue when chilled to perfection, which, besides the refreshing taste, is my favorite thing about drinking Coors Light. Refreshingly cold and only 102 calories, Coors Light is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Tausch with Brian Bulaga is our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. All's quiet on the Ray Nitschke Field front as the players have not emerged from their pre-practice, whatever it is they're doing. They're stretching, maybe, Brian. They're maybe doing some top secret stuff. It is overcast here. It's pretty warm, but not like the sun beating down on you warm. I'm curious, during your playing days, what was the best you could hope for as a player in terms of the weather conditions for training camp practice for you?
Ooh, if I was begging for, I would want a little overcast, 75 degrees with some breeze. That'd be perfect. It'd be a great day. That'd be nice.
And what's the
overcast?
And what's the worst that you remember?
Looks like we might have a little technical difficulty. Here we go.
Hello,
looks like Brian got muted. Here you go, Brian. You're good.
Would you mute me?
Yeah, I was tired of your, yeah.
Oh, Jesse.
Thanks.
What's the worst that you experienced other than Jesse muting you, which has got to be pretty bad,
sorry,
too?
Sorry, now I know what Tony Reale felt like on Around the Horn all those years.
Wow, appreciate it. The worst, it would be like it was, because, yeah, I mean, Green Bay sometimes it can get a little hot at times, depending on when time you go out there. But, like, it'd be like 85, dead air, and just muggy.
I thought about
it. Like, that's the worst. Like, and that would be like you know, get out there around noon, 1 o'clock, and it's just dead air, muggy, and it's the worst. And that's, you know, I mean, I'm complaining. I live in Florida, but at the time I wasn't, you know, living in Florida. I was in Green Bay, and that was the camp. That's the worst camp condition in Green Bay, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I would be, I have a lot of wimpy characteristics. Unfortunately, Sydney, our youngest, has inherited one of them. She's better than me in just about every single way, except, like, especially when it comes to soccer games. If it's hot, she is blanket miserable. And I can't imagine, like, again, today, the team has just come out. They're about to run some 11-on-11 walkthrough stuff down at this end of the field. Hold on! But it 90 degrees and humid in full pads for an hour and 45 minutes. Oh, I don't think I could last. Tausch was telling the story yesterday of, you know, sweating so profusely that when you would walk, your cleats, your socks were so soaked with sweat that it was as if you'd been caught in a rainstorm and it's completely dry everywhere else. But your feet, it's like you are walking, you're just, your shoes are absolutely saturated. That sounds so unpleasant, Brian. I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah, some guys are like, you know, the feet sweaters, and that's disgusting. Like that, some of those guys have that issue. I mean, I always, just for purposes of trying to prevent that, I was always a double sock guy. So I would wear, you know, sure that just so your feet wouldn't slide around in your shoe. You know, one pair of socks, just, I didn't want to get blisters or anything like that. So I'd be a double sock type guy just so I wouldn't do that. But just in case you did sweat a little more than you wanted, it would try to absorb some of that so you didn't have that feeling. Because that would be uncomfortable. I'm not going to lie. But it is the pads in 90-plus degrees for an hour and some change. It's not a great feeling. We'll just put it that way. It doesn't feel good. It's uncomfortable. And then if there's no breeze or no cloud cover, it's a long day. Let's put it that way. It's a long day.
Brian, when we talk about this ramp up period, and we talked a little bit about it yesterday, but I was talking to Matthew Golden from a rookie perspective. Can you take us back to your first training camp? Because Tausch always talks about how his rookie year, they actually had the rookies practicing. Just the rookies. So they had a couple of days to kind of get their feet wet, pardon the pun from our earlier conversation, but get their feet wet, and then the full team would show up, and then they've kind of at least gotten a little bit of a feel for the NFL before, you know, Gravedigger Gilbert Brown was knocking Tausch around or whatever it might have been. So what do you remember from your first camp in terms of how it played out? Because, you know, Matthew Golden is... He basically has hit the ground running. They all have. They had to come in right away and be ready right away.
Yeah, we didn't have that like Tausch did. I mean, that was what we had, that for the OTA period where they brought us in early and we got to kind of do that before they brought in the guys for the OTA period. But I remember my first few days at camp. I was just trying to keep my head above water, and I felt like I was always like behind and just trying to keep up. Because, you know, the guys were, they'd go from drill to drill to drill, and they knew what they were doing and they knew what to expect, and they just understood what was going on, and I had no idea what to expect. And when you don't know what to expect, you feel very overwhelmed at times. And that's a bad feeling when you're tired and you're exhausted and you're trying to remember a playbook and you're, you know, a lot of things are going through your head. And that's how I kind of felt for the first week of camp. Like you're mentally exhausted, you're physically exhausted, and you're not sure of everything at that point in time. So like your head's spinning a little bit. And it wasn't until probably about the second week where I kind of started to settle in, and I understood the routine and kind of the groove of practices and kind of the flow of things, and how Coach McCarthy's how we wanted practice and how Campy wanted things and how Joe Philbin, the offensive coordinator, how he wanted things to look. And kind of the tempo of practices too against the defenders and what to expect from certain players on defense. It took a little time. So I felt like just trying to stay afloat for a bit. Now, obviously things have changed and things like that, but for rookies, I don't know how much it's changed feeling overwhelmed, right? Like I still feel like that's probably a feeling that they all feel because it's a new playbook. There's a lot of verbiage they need to learn. It is a new way of playing, right? Like college to the pros is a new way of playing. You just can't play the same exact way you did in college because it doesn't work. Like, yeah, you got to be yourself, but you got to make changes to your game. You got to be able to adapt. You have to be able to learn on the fly because if you can't, you're going to get left behind. So these guys are trying to be themselves, but adapt and then learn a new playbook at the same time and adjust. And there's a lot to do in a short amount of time and still perform. So there's a lot that these guys have to go through. And you learn a lot about guys in a short amount of time. And that's the strength of the camp. That's the whole point of this thing.
Well, the good news for these guys is if they feel taxed or anxious or tired, they've got a posh, luxurious new locker room to go back to after practice. Vaughn, I'm a little concerned because Jesse and I agree on something. We agree that the most interesting thing that Matt LaFleur said yesterday was about the locker room, but not really about the locker room. You'll hear what he said, and we'll explain why Jesse and I agree on this with Brian Bulaga as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
We're on the Badgers.
The schedule, as we all know, it's very challenging, daunting, however you want to describe it.
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
He wants guys who want to jump at the opportunity to play against a schedule like that.
This is 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world because it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes because your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time before we learn how to fly. Welcome to the rhythm of the night.
Packers continue to practice at Ray Nitschke Field. We continue with Brian Bulaga as our cousin sub of the day. And Jesse, let's get to this clip from Matt LaFleur yesterday. Jordan Morgan pumping up the crowd, which is nice of a backup offensive lineman to do, right? Right, Brian? at least for now, we'll see how things
play out.
Not
very nice.
I know, I'm not a very nice person. I think we've established that today. But I did think that something Matt LaFleur said yesterday was really interesting, and apparently you did too. Let's play what Matt LaFleur had to say about the new locker room and then get Jesse's reasoning for finding this the most interesting thing he heard from the head coach.
I think it's nice, but like I told our guys, it gives us zero wins. I mean, you've got to go out and nothing's changing with that football field. You got to go do it out there. So although it is a great luxury, I just want our guys to understand. I told them yesterday, I'm like, hey, we got all these sexy facilities, but understand there's nothing sexy about the process. I mean, it takes a lot of hard work, dedication, sacrifice, pain to get to where you want to go. And hopefully at the end of it, there's a payoff.
That's so much.
Say that again, Jason. We lost you there for a second.
Jesse, why did you like that so much?
I liked it because not only did I think it was authentic, I think it was the most passionate thing it sounded like he said yesterday. It felt like it was the exact same message that he probably shared in the locker room with all the players as they came in and they all were in awe of how cool it was, compared to last year. It was like a moment of realness. I felt like from LaFleur. And, I think it doesn't happen every season or every, couple of years where the locker room gets this massive renovation. Like this is, once every couple of decades, they do something like this. And, to experience that and kind of feel like what that experience was for the players. I just thought it was a really cool, pretty dead on in the locker room kind of moment that we all got to experience that Matt LaFleur shared with us yesterday. It was cool.
Yeah, it pains me to say this, but I full-heartedly agree. Brian, when one of my favorite things is when, because McCarthy used to do this all the time too with us, when he would deliver to us the message he delivered to you guys, because you could feel when he was doing it too, you could feel it start to kind of crescendo. Like, it's almost like he forgot he was talking to us knuckleheads. They felt like he was talking to you guys again. And you could feel it. Like, there's nothing sexy about the process. Like, you knew that LaFleur was quoting himself and what he had said to these guys yesterday. And I actually remarked to Matt after we had our interruption with the alert alarm going off on everybody's iPhone. You know, I was curious, you know, how far he thought he'd come in that messaging. Because if we're being honest, as a rookie head coach, probably wasn't very good. And now it does seem like he's kind of found his rhythm with that. Mike McCarthy invested a ton of time in wanting to have really good messaging. But how much as a player does that stuff, obviously execution and all the stuff you do out here on the field is what matters most. But that, from a player's perspective, how much does that resonate for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think how you deliver the message and kind of the meaning behind it has a big role on guys. I think if you just come in and kind of repeat the same thing time and time again, guys can tune it out. And having the locker room and the facilities, when they get redone like that, guys, they're in awe by it, obviously. I saw the video of it, and I was in awe by it. I was like, man, how lucky. Like, those facilities, that locker room is ridiculous. But I think kind of his messaging that he gave, like, not just the answer to you guys, but I think his message was probably very similar to the players, which I think is fantastic, is spot on. Like, I mean, it really is. And that – that's kind of probably where he, I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm sure, because I thought he was fine his rookie year as a head coach, so to speak, his rookie season as a head coach. I thought he was fine. I mean, obviously, there's always room to grow, and I'm sure he would say that as well. But I'm sure that's where he probably feels like he has improved a lot as a head coach, is how he delivers his message and what he wants to get across to the team. And he's probably felt like he's had to do that with the youth of the team, right? Like, he's probably felt like he's had to step up in that department because of the youth of the team. And a message like that, is big, because, like, when you have a young team and you have a facility like that and a new locker room and it's that – I mean, I don't want to say, but it's that gaudy and it's that nice. And, like, guys feel a certain way about it. But the message is, like, hey, like – this doesn't get us anything. Like, at the end of the day, like, the organization has given you guys this, whether we deserve it or not, this is not going to make us perform better. Regardless of what you may think, this isn't going to get us wins. It's not going to make teams perform worse against us. It's not going to make them feel any certain way about us. The results are going to be earned on the field. Like, that's what it is. And that's a great message by him, in my opinion, because that's where results get delivered, is on the field. It doesn't get delivered in the locker room, regardless of what you may think. It gets earned on the field where they're at right now. So, like, I think that's probably, as a coach, where he probably felt like, or feels like, he's grown the most, is his impact of when he delivers these messages to the team and his confidence in that standpoint. Because the X's and O's part, I think he's, to me personally, and I still say this, I could care less what anyone else thinks. I think there's not many better than him. So, like, to the X's and O's, I don't think there's many better than him. So I think you look at where he feels like he probably needs to improve, if there's any, and this is me just taking a guess. I have no idea. It would be, how can I make my message resonate? And that's probably a good, a good idea of what it is, because now he's able to repeat it back to you guys, like Mike used to do.
Well, and let's be honest, Brian, right? The old NFL saying, it doesn't just apply to
the tight ends are going through blocking drills about 15 feet from me. It goes to everyone. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. You're not staying the same, right? And if that's the truth for coaches, too. And he has, like, let's be honest, offensively, they have some things to improve on last year, too. You and Tausch always bring this up, the whole narrative of we were sloppy. Him talking about being sloppy down the stretch of the season, or him talking about how we got to win our one-on-ones and have guys get open. No, that's what the offense is designed to do for you, is to get guys open, right? So he knew he had work, as well as a play caller and as a schemer. But to your point, you know, I do think that if we're being honest, the area where he has probably grown the most is in terms of his ability to kind of connect with his guys. He's always been a player's coach, you say, right? But his messaging, I would bet, is really
important. Yeah, for sure. And, like, you're right. I mean, like, you hit it. Like, yes, you know, the ability to scheme and get guys and like, get players open and do those things. Like, yes, that's X's and O's for sure. But there are things that dictate that as well, right? Like, there's mm-hmm. other factors to scheming certain concepts, certain plays. There's factors that go into that. Does one concept set up the other concept? Can we run that concept? Is this in the playbook right now that we can run this concept that then opens up this? Like, there's certain things that if you look at last year that they weren't doing a bunch of that we're so used to seeing out of LaFleur's offense that they weren't doing, that why we were asking a lot of the questions, like, hey, why weren't those really mm-hmm. quick play action passes that would go for 15 yards that were so easy completions, why weren't they doing those? Well, because there weren't a lot of play action passes to begin with because of the way the run game was going, because how dynamic it was with Jacobs just running basic downhill duo type runs. Well, mm-hmm. maybe we see more of that this year and how the run game evolves a little bit, right? Like, so there's a process to things and how he's going to go about it this year, or at least I would imagine he's going to. But yeah, I think there's ways and levels to scheming and X's and O's and all those things. And we can point the finger at the coach because he is the play caller and things of that nature. And then we can go to Steno because he's the offensive coordinator. We can point fingers at those things. And believe me, as a player sitting in these meetings and you get presented the game plan, you can do all those things. But I know sitting in those seats, being presented the material, at the end of the day, if you can't execute the material that's getting put in front of you, then you can't build off the concepts that they want to get to eventually. So if you can't, you know, the material that they give you, if you can't get that right, then they can't build off that then. And you can't go to level two off the material then to play off of that. So, like, that's kind of what we saw last year a little bit, which is why I felt like at times it felt like the offense was stuck in gear one, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's kind of the feeling I felt. But I feel this we could see a different rendition. I truly feel that way. And with the talk of the more involvement of the tight ends, when you hear more involvement of the tight ends, it feels like more play action. When you hear more 12 personnel, it feels like more play action. It feels like more under center runs and things like that. So we'll see how that goes. And obviously this is so early in training camp, it's hard to tell. But LaFleur is very good at evolving. He's very good at evolving. And I know Hackett's on the other side of the ball. I get that. But that doesn't mean Hackett can't help, right? Like, right. Like Hackett was there year one when this whole thing kicked off. He was there year one when this whole thing got installed year one and it popped off year one and we got this thing rolling. He was there year two. He was there year three. Like, this thing, you know, he was there when this whole thing started to evolve and it got rolling. So, like, there's no reason why he can't give pointers and help LaFleur with this dynamic running back now that we have to get this thing pointed in the direction that he envisions it. So I'm excited for it. And obviously with Steno too, Steno's very good at the run game as well and how he can help LaFleur get this thing rolling the way, you know, LaFleur wants it to go with the run game and play action and all that as well. So, like, I'm excited to see what direction it takes.
All right, we need to kick off the 11 o'clock hour with Brian as our cousin sub of the day. And the guy that's going to obviously be the trigger man for all this stuff that we're talking about offensively, Matt LaFleur can design all the plays he wants, and he can change up all the personnel groups he wants, and Josh Jacobs can run the football productively again. But it all comes down to the quarterback, especially in the crucial moments. And Jordan Love talked yesterday, and I thought he had some interesting things to say. We'll get to those on the other side when we kick off the 11 o'clock hour. That will begin in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.